Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tribal Wisdom Radio, your marriage support network. Tune in for all things love, marriage, and family. We are devoted to love. Here we go.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another hour of Tribal Wisdom. I'm your host, Cynthia Williamston. Wow, it has been a wonderful week. It has been a very busy week. And as you know, tonight we are on with Paris Love of the Paris Love Institute. She's going to talk to us tonight about how to get more accomplished when everything else starts to look appealing. Paris has a tried-and-true system that will help you manage your time, reduce your stress, and increase your productivity. And since this month is about self-awareness and self-improvement, we are definitely interested in increasing our productivity and not just being busy. Before we get into the show, I just want to say that last week I saw a wonderful play produced by Anthony Ken, LLC, and Cheryl Lee Ralph and the Diva Foundation. It was a wonderful play called Mighty Real about the fabulous Sylvester. It was a fabulous Sylvester musical, and fabulous it was indeed. If you were not ready to bob your head and move in your seat, it is not a play that you would want to see. But of course, everybody loves to dance, to enjoy themselves, to really listen to the story of a phenomenal person, talk about how they got started, why they do what they do, and the love that they have for what they do. And that's what this musical did. It really highlighted the music of Sylvester, his life, everyone that he helped along the way, and the causes that he was so very close to. If you have time, and even if you don't have time, go on down to the theater on 46th Street between 9th and 10th Avenues. And take a look or take a listen and take a good time with Mighty Real, a fabulous Sylvester musical. Stay tuned on the blog tomorrow. I will be uploading the one question interview with Cheryl Lee Ralph, who is one of the producers of the show. You don't want to miss it. So now let's get into Miss Paris Love. I'm just going to bring her in. She's already introduced herself. Or rather, I've already introduced her, but she can introduce herself. Paris, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Oh, hey. How you doing, Paris? I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. Doing very well. Thanks for having me.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. It is my pleasure to have you. I was rereading some of the things that you do again. And after these past couple of weeks, I realized how much I need you. Because I feel like there was so much that I hadn't been able to get done where I normally get so much done. But with my schedule changing so quickly, I feel very unorganized. I feel like I've let some things fall by the wayside. And I'm just like, wow, I can't allow this to happen again. And if I feel this way, I know that there are plenty of other people that feel the same way too. So please, do tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do.
Okay, so it was just interesting that you say that about having, getting a little overwhelmed. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit in my presentation. But my company is the Paris Love Productivity Institute, and I've actually organized for, wow, I think it's 28 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And I've had my business for 11. Now, the reason why there's that gap right there is because I used to organize for my friends and family for free. And then I was a special needs child, and my son's doctor told me one time, he said, you know, it's not normal to go to people's houses and organize them. And I thought, well, my friends don't mind. They actually enjoy having me come over. So I discovered the National Association of Professional Organizers, and I was like, wow, so I'm not weird because there are other people like me,
right,
and they actually get paid to do this. So interesting enough, all of my friends are now my paying clients, And it's been an interesting journey because I started out, you know, helping individuals go in and kind of clean up their messes, their clutter, the stuff that they had. And I realized over the years that it wasn't about the stuff. You know, there's something else going on. Clutter is just a symptom of something else. And I get into that a little later as well. But primarily, I do work with the overextended professionals, and I help them energetically, emotionally, and physically remove clutter so that they can ease that stress. They can increase their productivity.
Now, I was going to say, until you said the word stress, and that word alone, I'm thinking to myself, yes, stress is such a huge factor for our health these days that removing it, it should be top priority.
Yes.
But
when
I think about what you're saying, it takes me back to that television show. What is that television show where they would just go in? It's not Hoarders, but it's something like that, and they go in and they really kind of get rid of everything. I think Niecy Nash used to be the hostess.
Oh, Clean Sweep, I think, was her show, yeah.
Yes, so when you're talking about removing the clutter, and of course that the clutter not being about the clutter but about emotional things, it makes me think of Clean Sweep. So is this close to something that you do?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Yes, and a lot of people say, oh, you can come and make my environment look pretty and functional. Yes, I can. However, I also look at how and why you get to that place. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, clutter is just a symptom of something else. And, you know, like you mentioned earlier, you're getting really busy. Some things are falling apart. So, you know, today's Wednesday. So by Friday, if you're overwhelmed, you think to yourself, you know what? I need these $200 shoes because I've had a tough week.
Right.
And that's how you justify. You're like, I need this. I deserve this. So you go and buy your shoes. And, you know, a couple of days later, you're like, why did I buy those shoes? They were cute.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, they did cost a lot of money. They really hurt my feet. And what happens? You don't take them back. You keep them. And we just put it aside. And then you have another stressful. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, to that point, I never feel like I've made a mistake when I buy shoes. So I just wanted to get that out there. because I love shoes. So whether it be an emotional purchase or a purchase that's needed, when it comes to shoes, especially pretty shoes, I never feel like I've made a mistake. All right, so we can move on.
Well, I have a shoe fetish myself, so
I get it.
So then, you know, whether it's shoes or something else, you buy the item. And then, you know, you might go through that period again where you feel overwhelmed and stressed out. And so you might buy something else again. And it's, you know, you feel like you deserve it. I mean, you worked hard for it. And don't get me wrong. You work hard. You do deserve to have nice things and to get things. But I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that. But you also have to look at, is it a need or is it a want? Because oftentimes we go and we buy things to kind of fill something else, fill a hole, fill a void that's going on. So just recognize that when you're buying things, are you buying it because you really need it, because you love it, because you have a need for it? A lot of my clients will buy things because they're on sale. It might be 10 for $10, but do you really have to get all 10? Maybe you just get 5 items. I would have clients that say, you know, so-and-so is going to have a birthday coming up, so I'm going to buy this now. And then guess what happens when the birthday comes? They completely forget about it. So they have to go and buy another item. And months and years later they go, oh, I remember buying this. And I said, well, why don't you give them the gift? Well, it was actually a baby outfit. I said, well, how old is it? Well, they're at 20. Okay. So, and that's, you know, having some humor with it. But, you know, if you buy something, you know, you want to make sure that you really, truly love it and need it. And I always tell my clients, when you buy something, you have to be willing to let something go. So I know that you have a shoe fetish like me. So I'm going to use shoes as an example.
So okay, but I'm not letting anything go.
But you have to, Cynthia. Look, play along with me, Cynthia. Just play along.
Okay. I thought you wanted me to be honest, but I'll play along.
Just play along. So say, for example, you buy a pair of shoes and you think, I can't get these shoes unless I let a pair go. So are you willing to let a pair go? And you told me that you weren't. So how about, are you willing to let something else go? Maybe there's an outfit or, you know, something else that you were thinking, well, I can let this go. I can donate it. I can give it to somebody else who needs it. And I call that the one in, one out. So you're constantly purging, which is the first step in my system. You want to constantly purge things because what happens is we keep buying things, we accumulate stuff and things, and then at some point it gets to be overwhelming. Then you start to get really stressed out because when you have clutter, it will call to its friend to come visit me. It says, "Ooh, come visit me, come hang out with me." And before you know it, you have like a pile of stuff. And you're like, how did that happen? How did that get there? But if if you're letting something go, you're constantly purging. So you're not overwhelmed. You come and say, oh, my God, now I have to spend like a whole week and try to get this done.
Right.
So you always want to be purging.
Okay. I wanted to kind of get to how these things begin. And one of the things, I'm sure that there's more than one thing, because I know that you hold a master's in an undergrad in psychology, human resource management, business administration. So I know that all of these things come together to really help you be the expert that you are and help the people the way you do.
Mm-hmm.
On the psychology side, when it comes to accumulating clutter, what are the things that happen, you know, before we get to the purge, before we get to the straightening up, before we get to realizing that the one in, one out system? What are some of the things that happen that make us become unorganized or begin to accumulate clutter?
Mm-hmm. For me, I think it's those self-limiting doubts or beliefs that we had as children.
Mm-hmm.
So say for instance, if as a child, and this is just an example, as a child, if you grew up where you didn't have a lot of food in the refrigerator, and as a child, you thought to yourself, when I grow up, I'm going to have a refrigerator full of food. So as an adult, you have your own place. You have your refrigerator. It's full of food. But when you open the refrigerator, the food might be spoiled. It might be something that, you know, you don't even like, but you bought it. Because when you open the refrigerator, you have that sense of fulfillment because the refrigerator is full. And I use that example because some of the self-limiting beliefs that we had as children, you know, not having enough, maybe not being good enough. You know, I grew up with my family said, do you think we're Rockefeller around here? Money doesn't grow on trees. So we've taken all that into our adulthood, and we start to accumulate things to kind of fill that void, to make us feel better, to feel more confident, to feel more energetic, more alive. So we have stuff that's filling this void, and it's awful stuff. We have to recognize what is the void, what is making us purchase and buy and do the things that we're doing.
Okay.
No.
I was just listening. That you're saying that part of it is about filling the void, possibly from childhood, possibly from, you know, adolescent to adulthood. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
What else is there? I mean, because you know, we're always talking about the difference between being busy and being productive. Does that also play a part in us becoming unorganized and filling our lives with other things?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. When I worked in corporate America, you know, you go by someone's desk, and it looks very neat and orderly. And in your mind, you're thinking, are you doing any work? Your desk looks too neat. You must not be doing anything. Then you go by someone else's desk, and you're like, oh, my goodness, can you find anything on this desk? Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes we do what's called busy work. Mm-hmm. You have all the papers on your desk, and if someone walks by, it looks like you're very busy. And if you have a clean, organized desk, people go, well, are you doing any work? What's going on? And I think when we have a lot of paper and stuff and towels, it's almost like a little a blanket. Remember, what was his name in the Peanut Lioness with the blanket? And that was his security blanket, and he always carried the blanket around, but the blanket was really dirty. So having all the paper and the clutter around us gives us that comfort zone, and a lot of people would tell me, well, I know exactly what's on my desk. Okay, you might know, but would somebody else know? If somebody else came in your office, would they be able to find it? And when we're searching for things, whether, you know, you should be able to put your hands on something within 15 to 30 seconds. But if it takes you longer, then you might have a clutter problem. And to us in our minds, we think that we're busy, but what are you really busy doing? Are you being productive, or are you spending your time searching and looking for stuff? Did that answer your question?
I thought, you know, you were being rhetorical. Wow. If you ask me, I do spend some time looking for stuff, and it really depends on the environment that I'm in, because I have an office where I work, and then I have my home life. At my office, my desk tends to get cluttered because I think I work for individuals whose minds are cluttered.
Mm-hmm.
They ask me to start a project. I start the project. Before I could finish it, they say, okay, well, just stop that for a second and finish this because I need this right away. And that could happen more than one time in a day. So I have all of these unfinished things on my desk a lot of times, a lot of papers. And the moment, you know, I actually have some time to do something, I try to complete each project as it has been left abandoned. But I have not normally been that type of person. Normally, if you give me a project, I like to complete it to the end and then start a new project. But dealing, you know, when you're in corporate America or a corporation, your desk could get awfully, awfully cluttered because it's this stop, start mentality, depending on what project is needed most, you know, more expediently.
Well, I'm going to give you an example. It's my example. When I worked in corporate America, and I know exactly what you're saying, you're working on something, and someone comes, I need this right now. And you're like, but I'm trying to finish this. And so we tend to put what we're working aside and work on the other project. And then we say, okay, when I finish this project, I'm going to go back to doing what I was doing before. And as soon as you get started, someone else comes. I need this right now. I'm like, okay, let me try to do that. So, and I haven't been in that situation. And I used to work with a lot of engineers. And so they were, I need it right now. And I would literally stop what I was doing. And I, you know, at the end of the day, I'm stressed out. I'm having to stay later. I'm like, okay, this has to stop. So what I did, and I'm really, and I don't know if it's the organizer in me, but I'm huge on the time management. So what I would do, one, I would set a timer. Okay, if I do this project, can I finish it in the next 60 minutes, the next 90 minutes? And I really challenged myself to be able to finish it within that time frame. Another thing that I would do when someone came, like, I need it right now, I said, you know, I will get to it. I need to finish this first. Is that okay if I finish this project first and work on yours? And if it was something that they said, no, I really need you to do it right now, I said, okay, but this is important. Just like your stuff, can you delegate this to someone else? Because if you can't delegate this to something else, to someone else, then your project's going to have to wait. And I know that sounds very harsh, but we teach people how to treat us. it's really wonderful if we can be Johnny on the spot, but who suffers? We suffer. Mm-hmm. Not the other person. We suffer. So we have to have some boundaries to say, I would love to do that project. I need to finish this first. Or can I delegate this to someone else?
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let's just touch on that for a little while longer. When it comes to being more organized and more productive, how important is it to create boundaries, not just with people that you're working for, but also at home?
Oh, God, honey, you can be on the phone for 3 hours on that one. You have to have boundaries. Oh, my goodness. And I talk from experience with this. You have to have boundaries. I'm the type of person, you the parent, can you? I'm like, okay, I can do this. Okay, I can do this. And I was like, I am running myself ragged. And it only took me one time to learn this lesson, because I was the person, can you do this? Sure, I can do it. And one time I needed something from that person. I can't get to it right now. What you mean you can't get to it right now? I'm about to kill myself to help you out. You can't help me. You know what? Okay, let me learn some boundaries here. I can help you, but I need to do X, Y, and Z. So you really do have to have boundaries, because people mean well. So when I say this, I'm not saying it as a bad thing. People mean well, but people will take advantage of that. And, again, the person who suffers is you. So you really have to have these boundaries and say, you know what, I'm working on this project, or I'm going to do this, and then we can do X, Y, and Z. You're not completely saying no to them, but you're letting them know, you know what, I'm busy, let me finish this project, let me finish doing this, and then I can help you with that.
All right. You know, well, that's a perfect segue to time management. Let's talk about what it is that you teach when it comes to time management.
Okay. What I do, and I don't know if it's the military girl in me or where I got this from, but I am a stickler for time. So what I do when I work with clients, I literally have them sketch out an entire week from Sunday to Monday, from the time they get up to the time they go to bed. And they write out for the 7 days. And they write out everything. I want to, you know, I woke up, I worked out, you know, I had breakfast, I went to work. I have them write everything out. Even when they're at work, you know, what are you doing at work? You know, if you get to work, are you checking your emails right away? How many times do you check it? So you write everything down for the entire week. And then we go back and we start looking at it to say, okay, are there some time wasters? A time waster can be social media.
Mm-hmm.
Another time waster, text messages. Because someone texts you, let me hurry up and text them back. And the next thing you know, you had this whole conversation. And I'm thinking, you could have called me and had that conversation. We sat here and text. And, you know, I'm not the perfect text, but I'm like, I'm making sure that I spell every word right. I'm like, I could have called and had a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So look at those time wasters that you have. Checking email multiple times of the day. I have a rule. I don't check my email in the morning. If I check my email in the morning, I won't ever get anything done. Because I start checking it, and once you finish checking it, you go, okay, I'm good. Then you hear ding, 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 ding. You're like, oh, now I have like 10 more emails, and I need to respond to 5 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, it's lunchtime. You're like, wow, all I've done is check email. So look at those time wasters and look at those, how much time are you really spending on it? For instance, for social media, you can go on like Facebook or Twitter and you say, I'm just going to spend 15 minutes. And you get caught up, let me see what Cynthia's doing. Let me see what Rob's doing. Next thing you know, it's lunchtime. So what I do, I literally set a timer. I'm going to spend like 15 minutes on social media. Or I'm going to spend 15 minutes checking my email. And after the 15 minutes, I can't say, okay, let me spend another 15 minutes. Nope. When the 15 minutes are over, and again, I'm using 15 minutes as an example. If you want to do 30 minutes or 45, whatever, you know, really works for you, you set that timer. But when that timer goes off, then you have to move on to the next task. Because if you don't, you know, that task is really going to draw you in, and, you know, that 30 minutes would turn into 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, could you have used the extra 90 minutes doing something else? So we look at that, and we see what are our time wasters, what can we eliminate, what can we do differently, but also what can we delegate? A lot of times we can delegate items to someone else. We don't have to be the person who does it all. So look at items that you can delegate to someone else, and that's going to free up a lot of time for you.
Okay. So what would you say the top three time wasters are? So far you said social media, text messaging, and checking email multiple times of the day. Would you consider these the top three?
Yes. Ooh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Look,
okay.
Look, can I add a fourth one in? No. Look, can
please.
I add a fourth one in?
Please do. Please.
I think my fourth one, for me, you know, because I have multiple things that I do, is answering questions.
From where?
Other people's questions, you know. I have students, you know, I teach for university, so I will have students that I have to answer their questions. And I'm like, really? Did y'all ask that question? So sometimes that could be, in a sense, questions are great, but sometimes it could really be a time waster, because I think that oftentimes when we, sometimes you can pick up the phone and call someone rather than send them a text message or email. It's just so much easier to me. Mm-hmm. That's just my personal opinion. You know, I'm old school. I know I probably sound like I'm 12, but I'm from the old school where people picked up the phone and had an actual conversation with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So the first approach, of course, is to help people with time management. The tip that you gave so far is, you know, you have to ask yourself questions like what can we eliminate and what can we delegate. Was there another question that I think you also said?
Let me see. Oh gosh. Sometimes I speak a mile a minute. I'm like, what did I say?
I know. Well, you definitely said you have to create boundaries, because everything is not an emergency.
Yeah.
So we have to create boundaries. We have to see what we can eliminate and see what we can delegate. I think those top three right there are perfect examples for us to follow. And you even gave us ways to deal with that. Put a time limit on it, which is the boundary.
Mm-hmm.
And then stick to it. Correct?
Yes. Delegation is huge.
Why do you say that?
You know, me, as you know, I'm that person. I used to think, and keyword was I used to think, if I want something done right, I need to do it myself. And I said I used to think that way. You know, I've learned the hard way, and that's why I teach people these skills, because I'm like, I've been there, and you know, it's not really in your best interest to wake up stressed and overwhelmed when you could have done something differently. And so now if I need some help or I need to delegate something, I am the first to call my team and say, hey, I need you to do this. Can you do this for me? You have to take this. Just take this and run with it. And I have to release that control to say, here's the project. I trust you. You're going to do what you need to do. And try not to micromanage. You know, because I used to give something to one of my staff, and I'm like, let me go and check up on them, make sure they did it right. And now I'm like, okay, I trust you. Go ahead. You got it, you know. So delegation was huge. So I completely, when I work with a lot of executives, that's a huge thing. Like, I could just do it myself. I'm like, just let's delegate it. Trust that other people can do it, and they can do it just as well as you can.
Okay. Now, because on your site you touch on a number of things, we just touched on a little bit of time management, and you touched on some of the psychological reasons why we might accumulate clutter, why we start buying things that we don't need to buy or holding on to things that we may not need to hold on to. These things that you are putting in order help us to release stress or be relieved from stress, which has to do with self-care. Can we touch on self-care and stress release in order to have a better improved life?
Oh, yes. Well, self-care is huge. You know that saying, if my man happy, ain't nobody happy? And that is so true. When you are so overwhelmed and stressed, anyone around you can sense it, and they get the bulk of that anger and that stress too. So you really have to take time for you. And again, going back a little bit to the time management, when I have my clients write everything from the time they get up to the time they go to bed, you know, and it's up to the individual if you want to do this in the morning or if you want to do it in the evening, but you have to have some type of self-care, whether it's reading your favorite novel, taking a bubble bath. You know, how many of us take a bath? A lot of times we take a shower because we think it's quicker. But challenge me on this. Take a shower, time yourself. Then go ahead and run the water, take a bath. It's about the same amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So why not take a bath? Why not be relaxed? You know, when was the last time you went to the movies? When was the last time you sat out on the porch and just looked up at the stars, listened to the birds? When was the last time you just took a walk around the block? Maybe you have a sweetie or a spouse. When was the last time you just sat with them and just did nothing? So that self-care, we really need to take that time. And oftentimes we might have to schedule it out. You know, we schedule. Some of us who work 9 to 5, we say, okay, I'm going to get up at 7, I'm going to have breakfast, I'm going to work out for a few minutes, get the kids ready, and I'm going to work from 9 to 5. When I get home, I got to fix dinner, and I got to go to bed. But do we ever schedule our time for ourselves? Do meditation, again, you know, take a bubble bath, take a walk. Even if you have to go in the room and stare at the wall, you need to have some time alone or time to take care of you. Because that is so, so important.
Okay. Okay, and how does that contribute to making sure that our life is simplified? I have to say that one of the things that I made a decision about at the beginning of the week is to, by like within a certain amount of time, to simplify my life a little bit more. And part of that is about delegation, and part of that is about getting rid of some things that I may not need in my presence. How, you know, talk to us about how that each one affects the other. When it comes to self-care, does that truly affect how we are able to organize the other parts of our lives?
Oh, absolutely. And so, and again, this is my personal opinion. I think that when we have clutter or stuff, you know, a lot of times we're moving so fast. Things are moving so fast. We're very overwhelmed. Our mind's going a zillion different ways. But when we take the time to do that self-care, you know, we're more relaxed. We're more energetic. What I do for my self-care, before I go to bed, I want to at least pick out 5 or 10 things throughout the day that I'm grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And even if someone, you know, if I had a client that, you know, I had to struggle with throwing something out, or, you know, I had, you know, anything that went wrong that day, I give gratitude for it. You know, I live in an area I live in a hurricane area. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, my God, there's a hurricane coming. I said, honey, if it's a Category 3 or below, we stay. Category 4 of above, we leave. But guess what? When it rains, it gets windy, I don't get upset because the grass needs water, and that's less that I have to do. You know, and we need to cool down. So you think of positive things like that. And when you have that positive attitude, and I know in a sense you're like, what does that do with clutter? It has a lot to do with clutter, because when your mind is clear and it's focused and you have this clarity, you're very clear about what you're doing next, what your next project is, what your boundaries are, what you will and will not accept, what you're willing to tolerate, you know, so all that comes into play.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, you are located out where? I know, are you in Chicago?
No, I was born and raised in Chicago. Love Chicago. But no, I'm actually on the Gulf Coast.
Yep. Okay.
You know where the oil spill happened a couple of years ago?
Yes, yes. That's I do remember that.
That's where I am.
Okay. Okay. No, I'm asking because, you know, I want people to know where they might be able to see some of your work or if they were looking to find you in order to help them, where would mm-hmm. they do that? But I guess, you know, we could do that just a little further down into the show. Let's talk about your other areas of expertise. We did time management. We talked a little bit about decluttering your space. Now, you also do a bit of business coaching and life coaching. Does that also include helping people straighten out their lives?
Yes, and what I found over the 28 years that I've done my business, it wasn't, you know, again, it wasn't about the clutter. Something else was going on, and I realized, because, you know, clients would bring me in, say, for example, I'm home-based business. I need you to help me with my filing, my paperwork, and once I get in, I'm like, you know, my clients really open up, and that's why I love this business, because my clients are, they become my friends, and I'm pretty much in every aspect of their lives, and I know sometimes that my people are very vulnerable to that, but something else comes up because I'm in their office, their business, and I came in to work with paperwork, and kind of what comes out of that is, well, you know, I have some issues with budgeting my money, or you know, my relationship is not going well. And I'm like, oh, my, you know, all these things come into play, and we just think that it's, you know, the paper clutter, you know, but, again, it's going to spill over into other areas. So I really look at all of that and say, okay, what's really going on? Let's, yes, deal with the paper, but also let's deal with, you know, the management of your money. Let's deal with the time management. Let's deal with the relationship, again, with that self-care. Because, you know, if your relationships are going bad, let's look at what's going on in other areas. Are you so concentrated on the business or the job that you're losing focus on the family aspect?
Right. Right. Well, you know what? Why don't we – I know you have a free download that you let people – read through about your 30 organizing tips to eliminate clutter and 7 organizing tips for your workspace. Can you give us some of those tips? Let's start with the tips to eliminate clutter. We don't have to go over all 30 tonight. But, let's talk about a few and why you recommend them.
Well, I think some of them I mentioned already. Remember the one in, one out rule?
Yes.
Remember, if you don't love it, let it go.
Yes.
My thing is, when in doubt, throw it out. And when I say throw it out, I'm not just saying trash it. You can donate it. You can give it to someone else. Release it back to the universe because somebody else needs it. You also want to eliminate having multiple items. So, for example, you always want to have like items together. I'm going to use the kitchen as an example. When you start to put like items together, go in your pantry and start putting all the like items together. You know, all the ketchup, all the cereals, you know, put it, the soup, put everything together. And then look and see, I didn't know I had 15 bottles of ketchup. I'm just using the kitchen as an example. Like, I didn't know I had all that ketchup. And trust me, I've done it myself. I've gone to the store and I go, I think I need ketchup. And I get home, I'm like, Lord have mercy. I had a ketchup in the refrigerator, ketchup in the pantry, and I just bought another thing of ketchup.
Right.
So, you know, you always want to keep like items together. Also, before you go out and purchase anything, look at what you have so you're not, you know, purchasing multiple items.
I guess that has to do with making a list.
Not only do you have to make the list, you got to remember to use the list. You know, that's almost like the little the grocery bags they give you now. Like anybody can give you a bag. And it was funny because I went to an event last week and they gave us a bag. And someone said, oh, I love these bags. I said, yeah, I like them too. The only problem is I have 100 of them. And when I go to the grocery store, I realize I forgot the bag in my car. And I forget the other. I had another tip for you on that one. I completely forgot.
Oh no. Okay. No. What about the seven tips? For your work, seven organizing tips for your workspace.
Well, I'm going to. I'm actually going to give you five, and this is going to be a little different from the organizing tips, but they're going to play into the tips for your workspace. But the five are purge. You know, that's my favorite one. I have to, you know, purge, assign, retain, invest, and simplify.
Let's read that again. Purge, assign,
retain.
Mm-hmm.
Invest.
Mm-hmm.
And simplify. I just spelled my name, Paris. So that's like the easiest. That's the easiest way to kind of remember that. So it's a little different from the seven, but it plays all into that. Where, you know, you have to purge.
Yes.
You know, you have to assigning items. To their everything has a place because everything is in its place.
Mm-hmm. So signing an item to its place?
Yes. And then retain, again, mm-hmm. keep only things that you love. If you don't love it, why would you keep it?
Mm-hmm.
And your workspace, you know, I've seen where clients have literally, no joke, like five staplers. And I'm like, why do you have five staplers? Well, because I keep losing them. I said, okay, well, do any of them work? Well, only two of them work. Okay, so can we let the other three go? Why do you have five and only two work? So, again, retain things that you love and, of course, that actually work. And invest. Invest in yourself. It does take some time and energy and sometimes money to get organized and decluttered. But invest that time and energy to do that. So that you're not overwhelmed and you're not stressed out and you don't lose productivity.
Okay.
And the last one is simplify. I actually have a funny story about that. Simplify is really about being consistent. Consistency is really key because oftentimes people will come to me and say, well, you know, I used to be organized and then I get unorganized, I get organized, and it's like a yo-yo diet. They're organized, not organized. Because there's no consistency. What happens is they get organized, and then they go back to doing the same old thing, and then at some point they go, okay, I can't take it anymore. I have to do something. But once you get organized, really be consistent with it. So instead of, you know, if you're in your office, and you know when you come in your office, you lay your mail down, you put it in the inbox, and you think to yourself, I'm going to look at that later. Well, the next day you come in, you lay your mail down again, and after a week, you have a ton of mail. And you're overwhelmed with it. And when you're overwhelmed, you don't do anything. But try this.
It's true.
Instead mm-hmm. of just, yes, it's very true. Instead of just laying your mail down, go through it. Look to see what can you throw out, because a lot of it's junk mail. What can you handle now? What needs to be filed away, take action on it. And then at the end of the week, you look at your inbox, you're like, wow, this is kind of empty. This is actually pretty good. Because mm-hmm. you were really consistent throughout the week. Because laying things down for later, you know, one day I'm going to do this, one day will never come.
Right. Right. No, that's excellent because I can personally say that I have that issue with regular mail. I hate junk mail. You can't get them to stop sending the junk mail. I actually bought a shredder so that as soon as I come in the house, I can just shred mostly everything. But then there's usually something that I can't get to right away because my mind is so busy racing on the things that I feel I need to take care of right away that at this point, I think I have at least three or four shopping bags full of mail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what's really good if you have, for individuals who have small kids or even if you have someone in the neighborhood, you know, that's kind of, you know, like 8 or 10 years old that wants some, you know, extra money, you can pay them like $10 to go through your mail.
I'm grateful that my mom usually comes to help me because she can't stand clutter. She can't stand clutter. So when she does come, she goes, what are these bags? And I said, Mommy, you know, I haven't had a chance to really open the mail, you know, with everything that I'm doing. She goes, well, sit down. We're going to do this right now. And I go, okay. So usually I guess I've gotten used to the fact that I still make my bags of mail because at least once every few months, my mom is going to come over and we're going to go through them. So
and
that
you notice
kind of
that when you go through it, it doesn't really take that long.
Right. It doesn't. And I guess, you know what, actually it's a lot more fun when she's helping me too. And even, you know, if she's fussing about something, I just like to hear her fuss. And I think she also just likes to use my shredder. So the shredder
is
fun. Yes. The shredder helps it, makes it a little more fun to do. But again, sometimes I just walk right in and I'm just like, I don't even have the time. I just end up putting the mail down and doing what I feel is most important at the time. But I do appreciate a lot of the tips that you have given us tonight. So I can't wait to start using them and see what happens. But right now I would love for you to tell the listeners where they can find you on social media, Twitter, Facebook, wherever it is they can find you and get in touch with you.
Okay. On Facebook, I'm Paris Love, Organizing Guru. And then on Twitter, it's actually Organized with Love, and Love is L-U-V. And my website is ParisLoveInstitute.com.
Yes, I'm actually on there. I want to encourage my listeners to please go on and sign up for the Productivity Gazette. I'm going to try to post a link to it. And she has the free reports, the 30 Organizing Tips to Eliminate Clutter, and 7 organizing tips for your workspace. Right there, there's an opt-in form. You just put your first name and your email address, and Paris will get that right out to you. I'm certain that you will be able to use it immediately for whatever it is that you need to organize. And you said that you also have a Facebook page.
Yes. It's Paris Love, Organizing Guru.
Goody. I'm going to actually post that in the event for people to find. And you know what? That's it. Oh, there it is. Paris Love, Organizing Guru. Oh, wow. I love this picture. I encourage everyone. And you, do you also have a YouTube page?
Look, I do and I don't. Now, you're going to laugh. Yeah, so the organizing me, my videos and my marketing girl gives me all the time on this. I have videos out there, but they're not perfect the way I like them. So I don't usually give out my YouTube thing. My videos aren't as perfect as I want them to be. I know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, lecture. I was about to say something. Okay, I'll leave it alone. I was about to say, isn't perfectionism part of something that creates clutter?
What'd you say? Huh?
I love how you're ignoring me. I love it. Well, okay. I really want to thank Paris Love so much for coming on the show tonight and helping us with our issues with clutter, and how to get decluttered, how to set boundaries, how to not feel overwhelmed so that we could really improve the quality of our lives. If you don't love it, let it go. I love that point that she has tonight. We have to each go through our closets, whether they be physical or emotional. And if you don't love it, let it go and move forward so that we can live very productive lives. Once again, I thank Paris Love for coming on the show. I want to thank you guys for listening in. Stay tuned for our next show. I will be putting everything up on the web as well as on our Facebook page. And we are devoted to love. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Tribal Wisdom. Stop by bridaltribe.com and visit our media page for full recaps of every show, amazing articles, and free downloads. We have an ever-growing library of knowledgeable guests with vital information for any stage of your relationship. At Tribal Wisdom, we are order and excellence in action, and we are devoted to love.